passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Back final hour on a Monday. Yes, thanks for prompting me on that. Connor is in Kentucky. You're on the air. Hello, Connor. Connor is in Kentucky.
Hey, what's going on, Paul? How you doing?
We are doing well. What about you guys?
Listen, never been better. Long-time listener, watcher, first-time caller. Just got a couple comments and possible questions for you.
Go right ahead.
Listen, I'm just curious what your thoughts are on everyone saying that Liam Cohen is a great offensive coordinator. He runs on average 54 plays a game. We have obviously not adapted to the SEC with catching up with the game. I love the pro-style offense. I'm old school. I love running the football. And then on defense, we want to sit back in a zone defense all game and let our corners and safeties give 10 to 15 yards of coverage on these soft cushion plays. And it really upsets me because I feel like we should be way more competitive with the recruits that we're getting.
I do too, Connor. I think the last 2 weeks have been a major setback for this program, and it just felt like it was on the verge of happening. I remember being up there 3 weeks ago, and there was such enthusiasm, but you always wonder as a Kentucky fan, as that first cold wind comes in from the fall, you know, when is Kentucky going to blow it? And I know I don't mean to sound harsh, but it's happened. Everything about the Georgia game was a complete disaster. And Saturday night, I mean, I don't know if you heard Cole Kubrick here. He did the game for the SEC Network. And I was bouncing around. So, I thought the game was over. So, I frankly had moved on. And then, you have this fake punt. And Kentucky was like, they went from winning the game. The percentage was, 70 or about 80, 88%. Winning percentage of winning the
right.
game to just they didn't make another play the rest of the game.
Exactly, and that's one of my issues is the ability to adapt to in-game situations. I'm 46 years old, so I've had season tickets to Commonwealth Stadium. I've watched Chris Doering beat us on a last-second play.
Right.
Devery Henderson beat us on a last-second play. Games we should have automatically won, and we continue to just fail in these big game situations that we should win.
Yeah, I think it's a real problem, and I'm not saying the program's in trouble. It's not. It's a very good program, but I've always felt Kentucky has to make that next step, and this is now, the third time in 5 years that Kentucky has been right here and then comes sliding back, and that hurts.
Right, 5-0 when we fail.
Yeah, and you can blame it on anyway, but it starts with the head coach, And I think now, if you go back a week to Mark Stoops' comments about the fans having to pony up, I mean, that now has boomeranged right around his neck. And it's hard to get that faith back.
I'm not saying – Coach Stoops has been amazing for the program.
Yes.
I can't say that he hasn't, but I'm not one of those fans that are content with a 9-3 season or an 8-4 season, as opposed to my dad's UK teams that went, 2-9. And, even back in 84 when we had Bill Ransdell and went 10-2.
No, Connor, you have to expect
and
more. I was
Clemson.
Talking to a friend, and I'm not going to mention the fan base. And I said, man, you guys, that was a tough loss the other night. I said, yeah, not bad. I mean, we still have a chance to make a bowl game. That's not what Kentucky is all about. I really think Kentucky fans take football extremely seriously, and I think that's why the last 2 weeks have been such a gut punch. I promise you, Cat Daddy, I wasn't talking about you, but I could have been talking about you. Good afternoon.
Big bro, looking good, sounding good as always. I can tell you Kentucky, Texas A&M, and South Carolina suffer from some type of disease. I don't know what it is, but every year, I mean, here's the talk in Columbia today about my Gamecocks. We beat Clemson. We beat South Carolina, and now we're where we at now, and Beamer is like talking off the wall, making comments that are just crazy, and fans are coming in the store going, time to move on, time to move on.
I think the real issue with Shane Beamer, for all the things that he does well, and he is as energetic, he has just stuck his foot in the mouth a couple of times this year, and I think it hurts him.
You think he's trying to interpretate Dabo?
Nobody's that bad.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what,
Cat Daddy, here's the bumper sticker. If things really fall apart and Beamer Ball doesn't win anymore other than the non-conference, you can get a button at the liquor store and say, we may not be winning, but he's not as bad as Dabo.
Well, we did have Junior come in today and said, we're going to get us a T-shirt up and going to sell it. I said, well, what's it going to say? Because he was talking about the Carolina Panthers and Bryce Young. And the T-shirt's going to say, Bryce Young been on his back more than I was in my honeymoon 40 years ago.
I watched him play yesterday, and I really like the kid a lot. We had a good relationship. But man, if he survives this season, I might just shut it down right now if I were Bryce.
I like the kid too, but we calling the offensive line for the Carolina Panthers our southern border. It's wide open. Have a good Mr. Feinbaum.
At least we got that out of the way. Gene is up next.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Gene.
In the words of Handsome Joe, roll tide, roll tide. And you know, Paul, I really had some good stuff that I wanted to talk about. I had some good topics I wanted to talk about. Texas A&M, trash. Kentucky, trash. Ooh. Tennessee, trash. I don't even know why we're talking about these people. But I can't even talk about that because this dude, JK, this bum, JK, is worrying me. Sitting on TV with a Miami shirt on, talking about the best team in college football, Bama. And his team, Paul, the last time they was in a championship game, do you know who they played, Paul?
Tell us.
They played the great Crimson Tide where they were crushed. And I can't believe this bum keeps coming on here talking about Bama. He sounds like a dude that's part of a club. Everybody's married except for him. He's a bum, Paul.
I think I was in that club once. Paul. Hey, thanks. Matt is up next.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, appreciate your time. First time caller, long time listener. I'm going to try and keep this a bit efficient on you because I have a couple hypotheticals. Basically, big point of contention, discussions with my buddies. If there were a chance for a couple of outlier schools like a Troy and a Memphis that have had some recent success, maybe just upsets, but if they were to be brought into the SEC, do you think that their positioning adds any strategical advantage over schools like Kentucky or Missouri that don't have as many pipeline states like Florida, Alabama, Georgia for high school recruits?
Well, let me start I have great familiarity with both. I have a lot of friends. I have a really good friend who's the head of the Troy Board of Trustees. They had a big trip up to West Point, got a win up there, and that's a fantastic program and always has been. Memphis, I grew up cheering for Memphis. The problem with both is that they are in a crowded neighborhood. Memphis is literally, within 2 hours of 2.5 hours of three or four SEC schools, and it's hard to as the SEC has looked to expansion. What's the commonality? It's not in every state, in everyone, but Missouri, State University of a rather large state. Texas A&M was not the state university, but it's not far behind Texas in terms of the power and the influence. The last two, Oklahoma and Texas, they're both the state university in their respective states, and neither Memphis or Troy bring that to the table. They really don't bring the brand that would be required. Now, you could say, well, they may be better than this school or that school. You may be right, but nobody's leaving the SEC is my point.
Understood.
Yeah, I mean, if you and I sat together one afternoon at a bar and said, okay, if we kick this one out and that one out, would these two fit in? Probably, but with the money that's being made and the loyalty that the SEC has to each other, nobody is going to get kicked out ever.
Exactly. And can I make a closing statement really quick? Grew up an Alabama fan. I was born in 95, so I barely got to really see what things were like in the dark period, just, you know, the Shula times. Everybody needs to chill out. No one's had it better than us. I played football at a tiny school in Tennessee. They had it rough for a while. So roll tide, Paul. I appreciate your time. I hope you have a great day, man.
Matt, thank you for the question. Appreciate it. And let's take a short break. We still have a little bit of time left for you to get in here. And we will come back with more phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and it's been a relatively quiet show. Most people well-mannered, not a lot of trash talking. Legend is next.
Monday, show is good. Thanks for Coach Freak and Auburn doing what I know they would do. Woo! Double that payroll right there, Paul. That five-star pick of the year. I told you, LSU minus 20 would be good. Ain't that what I said, Paul? Ain't that what I said right here last week? Ain't that what I said?
What's that?
Did I say that the minus 20 be good? Yep.
I think
minus
you did.
Minus 20 been good. Yep. Love it, baby. Bogey said, don't listen to the legend. Bogey, I got something for you. A birdie. Bogey. Birdie. Right there. Woo! What a weekend. Think about changing my name to Hurricane Hater. What a weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, watch out. Drake Maye has thrown another touchdown. Another touchdown. Boy, ain't nothing better than seeing a hurricane secondary run for the lives. Ain't nothing better, man. Nothing better than seeing Auburn get beat by 30.
Hey, by the way, hey, Legend, Jay. I was about to correct you, and then I just checked the score. You're right. It was 30.
It was 30. Don't rob it, Paul. Don't rob it. It wasn't 29. It wasn't 28. LSU's only getting faster. 30. Yeah, I love it, Paul. What a weekend. I'd like to give you Legend's top five takes of the weekend, if I could, right quick.
By all means.
Legendary take number five. Tough game for the Georgia Bulldogs. Woo! I don't know what y'all would do if y'all didn't have such a tough schedule, man. What a tough game. Beat Vandy, 37-20. Woo! That's the number one team in the nation. The one my black hat underboss claims is the team he's got faith in. Woo! That's faith right there. That's Joe Osteen faith right there. You know, I hate to see any player get hurt, and I'm serious about that, because I hope Brock Bauer ends up in an Indianapolis Colts uniform. But now you're going to get to see. Now you're going to get to see, Georgia, what happens when you lose your Jason Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Now you're going to get to see. I think Florida might beat y'all. Y'all about to get exposed. But good news is, after this tough week, you got to buy it, Georgia. Maybe you get already by then. Legendary take number four, Jumbo Fisher. Woo! Jumbo! Only person dumber than you is me for betting on A&M last week thinking they're going to beat Tennessee. I'm the only person dumber than you, Dumbo. Man, what a fraud. You got Evan Stewart, Adai Smith, Musa Muhammad, Thomas, and can't get them the ball. You got Evel Knievel in the booth and can't get it done. Dumbo, Dumbo. They bought a 77 million yo-ass right out of them SEC, dude. Good news is East Florida needs a coach, brother. So you're going to lay a die. Going to lay a die with 77 million. Legendary take number three, USC. Lincoln Riley. That's pathetic, dude. Everybody in the nation says you're a good coach. Good coach, my butt. You will be a good coach, and you can't figure out you need a defense, dude. How many years is it going to take you to get a defense? That's friggin' pathetic. Just like Bill O'Brien and Pete Golden wasted Bryce Young, you have literally wasted a Patrick Mahomes-type quarterback. It's pathetic. You ain't a top coach. You are a fraud as a top coach, just like your program's a fraud. And when you go to the Big Ten, you'll probably end up in Indiana with that defense in the cold weather. Legendary take number two. J.K. That's right, J.K. Always talking about the playoffs. Playoffs. Talking about the playoffs. Well, listen here, dude. One damn sure thing about it, Alabama's still in the running, but your ass and the Hurricanes are not. You won't ever see a playoff. Van Dyke, you should have transferred your ass when you had the opportunity, and every Miami player down there need to transfer right now and get out of that damn Titanic. And legendary take number one. Damn, dude. Reese Cup, Tommy Reese. Alabama just starting to eat, just starting to run on Saturday, dude. Just starting to run. And here you go on a 3rd and 3 at the 5-yard line with a damn rollout pass. You need to get your stuff together, Tommy Reese, before you blow us another opportunity at a national championship. And let me tell you something, dude. Your left tackles can't block. Put a tight end in to help them before Melrose ends up in the hospital. We got an elite defense. Got an elite special team, the best damn kicker in the nation, the all-time scorer in SEC national college football history, and you're playing damn tiki winks out there. Leave the analytics alone, and when the running game's gone, let them big boys eat. And get a damn tight end over the left tackle before Melrose gets in the ER. Love the defense, love the special team. It's your week, Tennessee. LSU next. Like Al Davis says, this win, baby, is about survival. Woo! And we surviving. And your Mitch ass, KJ, JK, you are done, dude. You are done. Legend has left the building.
Well, a lot to unpack with that legend call. Sense a little bit of betting on Alabama in that call and not covering. Going after the offensive coordinator. He hasn't been, he's not the only one tonight who took shots at Tommy Reese. An analyst took a shot. Let's get to the calls. And Marie is in Jacksonville. Hello, Marie.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
How you doing? This is Marie from Jacksonville.
I always
call you about this time.
Yes, ma'am.
Wish you to welcome you to Jacksonville. Calling you a little early this time. Because you were talking about, I was hoping that I would hear you. You know what a big Gator fan I am. And I know you've been pretty good sometimes about it, but I never hear you ever brag on them. But what I wanted to ask you is, what do you think about our coach, Billy? And how are you doing?
I thought Saturday was maybe the most important win he's had because I often think it's not only the win, it's what would have happened had Florida lost. And I think the season would have been in peril. And the fact that they were almost out of that game and came storming back, I think they were down 10, was even more impressive. I thought he dialed up some outstanding plays in the fourth quarter, and Graham Mertz and Pearsall connected. I mean, it was a sight to be seen, and I really did not think at that moment in the game they had much chance.
I didn't either for a while, but I sure was glad they did. But I appreciate you saying that. And your producer said Ricky had to go to class. We wouldn't get to see him.
Yeah, we'll talk to him later. Yeah, he was supposed to be on about an hour ago, but I I want to compliment a player that has to go to class as opposed to doing a sports show.
That is. That's great, isn't it? Last year we got cut off. We were talking about, I was worried about Richardson and his vision. I still think down the road they're going to find out that they would have helped themselves if he grabs those glasses still every time he comes to the sideline. And he's really had some bad luck, but I'm so happy he's happy where he is. And I'm so happy we got Graham and nobody gave him a chance. And that is one tough little guy. You see how many times he gets up off that ground and keeps playing?
Well, Marie, we'll see you in a week and a half down in your town. Thanks so much for calling. Where was I here? I saw Miss Pat. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I just wanted to know, why is he so obsessed with Auburn? I mean, it's not like there's a contest or anything. And the other question I'll just ask you, and then I'll hang up. I understand Jim from Tuscaloosa's back. I missed it on Friday.
He did call. We had Michael Bratton on, and Jim called, and Jim took Brat to the cleaners. I mean, it was a master class in caller eviscerating the guest.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just wondering. Bye.
Thanks. I've always wondered, Randy, tell me if you agree with me on this. Miss Pat, when she calls in, remember back in the day, the 70s, when you're at a phone booth and you only had 2 minutes? She always sounds like she's got to get that call in and get off. I mean, we're not in a big hurry here, Miss Pat. You can talk for more than 45 seconds. I'm sorry. She's calling us collect. That's why we have to make that call so quick. We'll be back. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
He's predicting a victory Saturday night in Tiger Stadium. AJ is up next.
Happy early Halloween, thinking, Bob. Did I just hear Legend sitting there bragging about that $1,000 that he put on LSU and he won it?
Yes.
And then he turned his ass around. And he put another $1,000 down on Alabama, and he broke even. So don't call in here acting like you're Danny Sheridan or you some kind of high-profile gambler. You broke even, just like you called. You barely break even on from the start to the finish of your calls. But let me take my team to my own timeout right here, because that was pathetic. I got a PSA for you, Hugh Freeze, and that's an acronym for Pretty Sorry, Auburn. That was a pretty sorry product that Coach Freeze brought out to Death Valley this weekend. It was absolutely unacceptable. It's not anybody's fault. It ain't Yellowwood's fault. It ain't the donors controlling nothing. It ain't got nothing to do with It ain't got nothing to do with the team not making plays. It has something to do with make your mind up who your quarterback's gonna be and roll with it. This year is a mulligan year for you, Coach Freeze. So try some stuff. Step out the box. I mean, get your team ready to play. Even if you're going to get beat, Coach Freeze, get your team ready to play mentally and physically, play with tenaciousness, play with intensity, play at an SEC level. I mean, play with a heart. I mean, come on. You're killing it. I mean, you're not coaching your boys up, okay? Deion coaches his boys up. They might lose real quick in the second half, but hey, at least he coaches them up. I mean, do something besides sit over there as a CEO. Grab your team and do something with your players. Get them up. Refer back to Cadillac Williams and Texas A&M game last year, Paul. I mean, Freeze is not facing any more of a problem than what Cadillac was facing.
And I agree with you. I'm tired of hearing about this other quarterback. If he's so good, play him.
Exactly. I mean, do something. But, I mean, you can't sit and – we hadn't even birthed any remotely close to birthing an identity as an offense. I mean, it's unacceptable. I'll tell you right now, I'll own it. He might not own it. He might want to say, well, you need to get – I'll own it, but I'm going to tell you this, Coach Freeze. You need to light a fire under your own ass and get your team up where it needs to be. Earn your money.
That, by the way? Do you just – you just like – are you sitting down? You just
– Well, you just – well, it's, you know, what you do is you go over there and you buy you a little box of matches and you light it up under your own butt. Because you're the head coach, everything's going to fall back on you anyway, right, Paul?
Right.
As a head coach, it all falls back. So he's got to get his coordinators in line. He's got to get them coaching at their highest level. He's got to get these players playing at their highest level. I mean, that product that we saw Saturday night, Paul, was disgraceful. I mean, that was not SEC football. I know Jaden Daniels is a high-quality player.
You show some objectivity here. This is an impressive call.
Well, I'm real, and I'm going to call it like it is. Coach Freeze, light your own ass up. Don't worry about everything else. War down, Eagle.
How about that? Auburn now eating their own. William is in Georgia. Hello, William.
What's going on, Mr. Feinbaum?
Hey there. Good afternoon.
I'd like to say one thing about legend, man. I don't know where you get these morons from. I think you stand out on the street corner and beg them to call the show. My God, what's wrong with this
true,
idiot?
By the way,
I mean, has he not been watching Georgia's recruiting in the last 3 years? You know what I'm saying?
He's been busy.
I mean, we're going to be just fine. I mean, we can't let our team rely on one tight end. I mean, we got three or four more in the stable right now, ready to go. Legend, we're going to be just fine. And AJ, you got to have some players at Auburn for them to play, brother. You got to have players first. Y'all have a good day. Thanks for getting me in.
Thank you for calling. Johnny is up next. Hello, Johnny.
Paul, good Monday to you. Thanks for getting me right in. That was only about 45 seconds. I really appreciate it. Since joining the VIP club, I get right in. I like that.
Great.
You know, it's overreaction Monday. One of the things I saw folks really overreact to.
Hey, Johnny, for some reason, we can't quite hear you, so maybe we can get you on a better phone there. How about Mike in Georgia? Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate
it.
I'm a big fan. I wanted to call and discuss, I saw your quick kind of fire answer to, you know, without Brock Bowers for UGA.
Right.
You know, fine, not fine. And I know those are quick answers. But to the extent I agree that we're better with him, obviously. However, your mention about Ladd McConkey, we obviously need him too, and his role is going to be more important now. But what I find very interesting is who turned out to be our leading receiver for the game. And that was Dominic Lovett, nine catches for 72 yards.
I don't think any question. Georgia can afford injuries at almost any position. They are so deep. But what I think Bowers just brings the intangibles. And I don't know where these next few games will go, but I just feel comfortable with him in a tight game. And I know you'll hear this ad nauseum, but the Auburn game, I think, is the personification of who he is.
Right. That definitely, he took the team on his shoulders, that's for sure. But Ladd barely played that game. And that's the point you made, I think. You know, they're going to really look to Ladd.
I like Ladd a lot. I checked with a friend of mine who's connected over there and goes to practice. And that's exactly what he said today. He said, you know, Ladd McConkey will step up. I think they can get through it. I probably overdid that segment. But then again, when you only have two choices, there's no way I was going to say everything is great when you lose, the number one player at that position in the whole country and really one of the top draft picks. Hey, thanks for the call. We head to the break. We still have a few minutes remaining, and we will talk to you then.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.